Hello, Matt Tantari here. Welcome to the podcast. Today we've got Joel Abell from a recent leadership day. As you know, Joel and Julia were the pastors of Hillsong Australia, being there part of the team for almost 20 years and have just recently launched Revitalize to the South in Sydney. And this message is all about something from nothing. I know it's going to inspire you to look at what you've got, to look at the nothing that you might have, and really push you into the limitless life that God has for you. So take notes, tell some people, share this message. I know it's going to help a lot of people.
But it is wonderful to see you guys. It really is. You are very special people. You've always got to be careful saying that because everyone's special. Like, I get it. Everyone is. I'm just fixing up this so it doesn't go off. It's so, honestly, we can't even explain to you how exciting it is to be here. I know that we were second choice. But that's okay. I feel like most of my life I've been second or third choice. The point is, you join the team, right? I was one of those kids growing up at school where, you know, you pick two, like, really great sports people and they come out the front and then the teacher says, okay, you guys are the captains, start picking your teams. And so this guy goes, I'll have you. And then he goes, I'll have you, and I'll have you. And then they get right to the end, they're like, who wants him? And that was me. But I still got picked. I just got picked last. It doesn't matter when you get picked. It just matters that you get to join the team, right? So the fact that we didn't get invited first is irrelevant. Where's the first guy? No, there were genuine reasons why he couldn't be here. But we, there were, it's an honor to be here. It really is. We really, really love the whole of our country. We love Australia. Some of the reasons we are still, one of the reasons we're doing what we're doing in Australia is because we love it so much. When the news broke that we were leaving Hillsong Church, don't know if anyone's heard of that church. Heard of that? Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. Not everyone has. We've met our neighbours and they've never heard of it. We're like, that's awesome. But when the news broke that we were leaving Hillsong Church, we got all kinds of rumours. You probably got them too. You might have started some of them. we got told, oh, you're going to start a Hillsong Church in Hawaii. I think that might have been because we'd just been on holidays there. And we have been going there for 25 years and we do love it. But no, not Hawaii. A lot of people thought it was going to be Australia, America, like Hillsong America somewhere, and all these different rumours. And Julia said something to somebody. She said, people must not really know who we are. They mustn't be watching or listening. We've been saying for years how much we love this country, and we love a sunburnt country, we love the rugged plains, we love the red earth, this island nation. We really do, and we love this place to bits. One of the great joys we had as lead pastors in Hillsong, Australia, was the opportunity to go right around our country and planting different campuses, you know, mostly in the bigger cities, but it still got us to lots of different places around the country, which was such a great thrill to us, to be able to see lots of parts of Australia. Been to Alice, love it. I got to transition that church in Darwin to become Hillsong Darwin. Absolutely love that. Starting Perth was a lot of fun. And starting Bali. Did you know Bali is part of Australia? It's not, but in Hillsong it is. But really got to enjoy that journey as well. They are our neighbours. They're very, very close. They're right on our border, right across to Timor-Leste, up into Papua. And so that's a whole nation that Jules and I are really passionate about, and want to see what we can do to partner. We're already creating strategic relationships to see what we can do. And we haven't even started yet. Okay, I've got to tell you, it's been so fun. So we have, we did the whole, you guys can ask questions later if you want, but I just noticed there's only 15 minutes for Q&A. So that'll be fun, like one or two questions. We resigned pretty much last year. It's been a long journey, and there's not a whole lot. We don't want to get bogged down talking about that today. But there was a lot of conversations towards the second half of last year, and we actually officially resigned on my birthday so that we would never forget that day. It was the 29th of October when we actually sent the letter off to Pastor Brian and the board, and the discussions had been already happening, and all these different things were going on. So why am I telling you that? Because we were going somewhere and it was really important. The Nala. We do love Australia. Yeah, we don't love Hawaii. I mean, we do. We like it, but we don't love it. The journey, yeah. It's been 5 weeks. So we had a farewell on the 20th of January. On the next day, the 21st, we launched our idea of Revitalize Church and put up a website. And that was the 21st of January. That's like 5.5 weeks ago. I think that might be 6 weeks on Monday. And so we've had a couple of picnics in the park that got really badly rained out. You guys were at one of them. Yep. And there were two really bad thunderstorms in Sydney this summer, since January, since the beginning of the year. And both of them were on a Friday night at 6 p.m., which is the two nights that we had these picnics in the park. And just incredible, we were shocked with who still came out in these really bad weathers. And one of them, the second one was so dangerous, it was an electrical storm. Julia got up, stood up on this park bench under a steel covering. It's what you do when you're taking cover from rain in an electrical storm. And said, it's so dangerous, so sorry, you know, you guys, we just want to let you know that we're going to be doing an information night next week, so you're free to come along if you want, but you better run for cover. And no one left. People keep turning up, and we're all hiding under this little cover and chatting. And it's just been the craziest journey for us. It really has. We've done one pop-up Sunday morning service, which was two Sundays ago. We were in New Zealand last week, so we did a picnic in the park because we weren't here. But that first pop-up Sunday we did just two Sundays ago, we called it pop-up in case everything went wrong. It was just a pop-up. What does it matter if it doesn't work? It's just pop-up church, right? You go down to the shops and there's pop-up, you know, little clothes and stuff that are sitting inside a little pop-up shop. And it worked. It worked really well. We were surprised. It sounded good. It felt good. It looked good. And lots of new faces again. Lots of great conversations with people. And so it's just been a really, really great journey for us. We're doing our second Sunday morning service tomorrow, which is why we have to get back. We would have loved to have stayed up here, but it probably is important that we get back, seeing as though we're starting a church. And so that's tomorrow morning. Julia's speaking at that. And we're calling that Team Church because we're really trying not to start. We don't want to start until April. We've got two more Team Church Sunday mornings, and then we're going to have another pop-up on the 17th of March. And we'll just see if people keep turning up, we'll just keep meeting. But it's becoming obvious already that we might need to start a Sunday night just for options, because in Cronulla, there's about 450 million people that all go to the beach Sunday morning. And we're like, oh my goodness, if we're going to try and reach these people, they're not going to come to church in the morning, because Nippers is like the religion and Nippers is like a beach thing. Oh yeah, you guys are beach people. Doesn't matter whether it's North Coast or South Coast, it's just coast. It's cool. I do want to know who is here from the furthest inland from the coast. I want to meet that person in morning tea time. Well, is there a church that would be furthest? Casino. Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's so fun. So thanks for having us. We just want to try and encourage you a little bit this morning with the moments that we have with you. And it really is, we can't express it enough, how much of a joy it is to be here with people that are just doing God's great work. What you'll learn about Jules and I is it's not where you are. It's not the size. It's not title. It's not any of those things. It's just listening to the Lord and doing what He wants you to do. And when we actually resigned, you know, after conversations, when we resigned end of last year, we were living in this beautiful unit, three-bedroom unit on the beach. So the front of our unit was the headland and just the ocean. And so for real, like, you'd get up in the mornings and you'd be at the kitchen, I'd be making a coffee and I'd glance out, all the front was glass, and you go, oh, there's another whale jumping. That was the view, and it was stunning, and it was such a blessing. And it was a gift from the Lord that it wasn't for free. It wasn't that kind of gift. It was great that He'd allow us the opportunity over the years to make some smart decisions and to be in a place like that. We woke up the next day after we'd resigned and we walked out onto the headland like we normally would, and we sat there and I said to Jules, we may have to sell this. We may have to sell everything. But we've got nothing now. We've got nothing. There's no title, there's no job, there's no, the phone's not ringing, there's no opportunities, there's no invitations, no one knows that we've done this yet. We've got nothing. And it was the strangest feeling to wake up and to feel so full and to have nothing. Like seriously, to have nothing, just to feel like we've got, we've got another, I'm 50 this year, so we've got another 20 years to start something and hand it over in that period of time. It'd be great if we could do all that inside that 20 years, well inside that 20 years. But we really want to help the church in Australia, and we want to do something. And it's never been about numbers for us, even when we were at something that had a lot of numbers. It's never been about title, even though we were at something and we had this title. But it is an interesting feeling when you do wake up one day and there's nothing. And so I want to talk to us today about nothing. And no wisecracks during morning tea. Like, I got nothing out of that. <That's> Lottie? Nothing. Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the very first verse. Oh, you want me to keep going? I know, but when do you want me to stop? 1:45? Okay, 22. Okay, great. Okay, let's go right back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the first couple of verses. As we started our journey, it became very apparent that we're starting a new beginning. And in new beginnings, it's important to learn some of the lessons about nothing and how important they are. Because it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know we've all read this many times, but something really jumped out at me. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was. God said something, and there was something. But before he said, let there be something, there was nothing. There was actually nothing. In the very beginning, there was nothing. And when we think of nothing, we have probably a negative connotation to nothing, because nothing is really bad. Like when we say, you look in your wardrobe, girls, and you're like, I've got nothing to wear. That's not true. You think there's nothing there. There is something. But we find it difficult to think of nothing. And so we talk of something like it is nothing. How bad that we devalue something and call it nothing. It's very difficult to actually think about nothing. And it's very difficult to think of a place of nothing. And it's very difficult to imagine the beginning when there was nothing. Because when we use the word nothing, it's always about something. And we say the something is nothing. No, no, no. Before there's something, there is nothing. Not when there is something, we don't call it nothing, because it's actually something. Before something, there is not. In the beginning, there was nothing. You open the fridge. How many of you guys open the fridge and go, there's nothing in here? That was a moment for the girls to laugh. But you do. You open it up. You open the pantry. There's nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing. There is something there. But what we're saying is, what I'm looking for, there's nothing. There's nothing of what I want. I don't want what I have. I want what I don't have. Oh my goodness. In ministry, how often do we want what we don't have? And we look at it and we go, we've got nothing. Look at your church and say, I've got nothing. Look at your team, nothing. It's so easy to do that. We can so easily despise something because we want what we don't have. What we don't have is nothing. What we do have is something, and we say we've got nothing. I find that interesting. Here's a couple of things. In the very beginning, creation, it became something. When creation was, just before that, just a spot moment before that, there was nothing. And creation was waiting to become something. Just before it became something, it was nothing. Everything we have in our lives at one point in time, just before that, it was nothing. I want to encourage us to get so excited about what we have. Don't despise it. So here's a couple of things, a couple of thoughts for us from creation. New beginnings. Number one, God needs nothing to make something. God needs nothing to make something. I am not saying God doesn't need anything to make something. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he doesn't need anything to make something. I'm saying he actually needs nothing. Like, he needs it. If God doesn't have nothing, he can't do something. Because he's already done something. Like, God doesn't... Hello, good to see you. I just saw you. When God said, let there be light, there is no longer no light. So God can't make light again because he's already made it. He could only ever make it when there was nothing. So actually, he actually needs nothing. So when we look at our lives and we think, I've got nothing, you should be so encouraged, because that's what God needs, to make something. In fact, if you didn't have nothing, God couldn't do something. But now that you got nothing, oh, wow, you're a candidate for a miracle, because you got nothing. Because God needs nothing to make something. And if you didn't have nothing, there is no way on earth he'd be able to do something. We've taken such great courage with the moments in this little journey that we've been on the last few months. Every moment when we think we've got nothing, we go, oh, that's right. That's what God needs, to do something. And it's changed the way we think about nothing. We got our house refinanced before we sold it, which was a dumb move, but we got it refinanced middle of last year, and I had this moment where I woke up. We had it on interest only because the mortgage was so high, and so we got it refinanced to try and start paying it down. Well, if you go to P&I, the repayments are even higher when it's interest only. So I had this moment where in bed at night, you should never do this, right? I'm in bed at night, Jules is already asleep, it's dark, I've woken up in the middle of the night because I'm turning 50, and as I'm laying there in the middle of the night after I'd just been to the outhouse, even though it's inside our house, I was thinking about the mortgage and the numbers and the figures. And as I was doing the math in my head, I was thinking, uh-oh, we've just refinanced and now all of our income matches our outcome. We're netting out, just our mortgage nets out. Everything that comes in goes out. We can't afford to live. We can't... Oh my goodness, how am I going to tell Jules when she wakes up? Not only do we not have space or room to just, you know, buy coffee and just like the luxuries of life living in the first world, which is very real, because we fill our lives with little luxuries. I'm thinking, we haven't got enough money even beyond just paying our mortgage now, because I refinanced, because that was such a brainy idea. And I had this cold sweat in the middle of the night where I'm like, we've got nothing, nothing. And it's these moments in life that define us when we realize we've got nothing. I'd made a mistake, by the way. I'd put our budget together on a monthly period when our repayments are monthly. I was like, oh, double, it's fine. What I'm saying is God needs nothing to make something. Here's the second thing we've got to learn. I must embrace nothing while I'm waiting for something. I must embrace nothing. It's the hardest thing to do. In this season of ours, when we have had moments of nothing and there is nothing, like we're going to start a church, guys. We're going to start a church. And there's nobody. There's nothing. We're not saying, do you have a worship team? No, we've got nothing. Like nothing. Well, that's not true. Julia can sing, but she doesn't want to. Harmony can sing, she doesn't want to. Eli can sing, he loves to. So we've got one. Like, there's nothing. What we would do, I'm just trying to help us, what we would do is we would sit and we would talk about the nothing we have. And we would embrace it. And we'd embrace the awkwardness and the frailty of it and the vulnerability of it. And we'd say, we've got nothing. Like, we're going to have to sell. And we have sold our unit. And we've sold another place And so now we've sold everything because we don't know what the future was going to look like. We don't know. We're going to start a church. And the Lord has said, don't ask anyone. I'll send them. When will you send them? And we actually haven't asked anybody to come. And we are so amazed at who is showing up. And it is so tempting to say, God, can we just ask a couple of people? But he said, don't ask. I'll gather them. And so you have to embrace nothing. You embrace the awkwardness. You embrace the silence. You embrace the debt. You embrace all of the weird moments where you have nothing because you know that God needs nothing to do something. And it's been the most exhilarating journey for us. Scary, crazy, sometimes just not nice, but amazing. And the third thing would be, God sees someone when we see nothing. God sees someone when we see nothing. If you flip over the page into chapter 2, it's the second account of creation. It says, the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and neither wild plants nor grains nor growing, where anything was growing on the earth. There was nothing, just nothing there. And the reason there was nothing growing is because God had not yet sent rain, so there's nothing. We're in some periods like that in Australia. You go out a little bit. I know it rained along the coast this morning, but the great devastation of Australia right now is it's raining where we don't need it. It's not raining where we really do need it. And the drought, it's affecting our country and our farmers and our local churches. We've got a passion to try and solve that, to try and figure it out, not just to bring comfort and hope, but to bring solution to that. We're trying to work out. I was at the national executive. I'm on the national team, ACC, and I was at, we're at that this week, and I was talking to Pastor Wayne with Pastor Alan Davies. I'm like, there's got to be things we can do. It can't just be about us having a good old party here on the coast. What are we going to do about helping them? And so I was sharing some ideas I had with them because I think there's some things that we can do to bring hope and revitalize. And when the Lord said to us to start a church and we had nothing and then we had no name, I mean, you've got to call it something, right? What are you going to call your church? We had nothing. We're like, oh, so weird. And when we finally came up with Revitalize, a bomb went off on the inside of us. It just exploded, this spiritual explosion. And we started to realize the Lord wants to revitalize the land. Right across Australia, wants to revitalize Australia. And it doesn't mean you've got to all change your church names to revitalize. I'm saying what we want to do by building a base in Cronulla is figure out how we can help revitalize the country. We want to build a base and we want to work with the nation. And we'll work with any church, but we'll definitely want to help our own family, ACC, but we want to revitalize the land. And when there's nothing, that's what God needs to do something. And when we embrace nothing, while we're waiting for something, we realize that God sees someone when we see nothing. And it says here that he, out of everything he made, as he started to make the earth and he made all of the vegetation and the animals, it says that he took some dust of the ground and fashioned it into a person, into a human likeness. But it wasn't until he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of what he'd made from something before there was nothing, something from dirt, he breathes life into it and becomes someone. It becomes someone. And I think what God always does when there's nothing, that's what he needs to do something. And if we're willing to embrace nothing while we're waiting for something, we must understand that God is speaking to someone for that something. And the hardest thing to realize about all of this is that God is well aware of what's going on. And I know we all like to help him, because he's just a little bit slow. And so we try to help him along, right? And the more we've got in more trouble over the years trying to help God along, than just, it's so hard to sit in the back seat, isn't it? And even if you are willing to surrender that driver's position of life and to sit in the back seat and let God drive your life, oh, we love shouting out from the back seat. God, I think you missed it. It was left back there. Whoa, 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 there's a whole lot of people on the side. Let's pick them up. No, 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 I know what I'm doing. Backseat driving. Some of us are better at others. But God sees someone when we see nothing. So what we've realized, so I'm just trying to build the timeline for you. Last year, at the end of last year, as we're stepping out, we've resigned, we've got nothing. But it's okay, it's what God needs. God needs nothing to do something. And so then we learn to embrace nothing while we're waiting for something. It's what hope does. Hope waits. It's what hope does. It waits. Faith believes. Hope waits. And it's hard to wait. I get it. It's hard to wait. I think we're going to, in heaven, we're going to see so many miracles that we almost had. Almost. Because we all think that they're, you know, we've missed out on all these miracles. What we don't realize is we almost had them. And the reason we just missed out on so many miracles is because we just weren't willing to wait that little bit longer. That's what hope does, it waits. And I know why we don't wait. We're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, and we've got a, you know, I should be 120 by now because the church up the road is already 150 and we're still 80. And we do all that. We compare ourselves. And then the mighty Instagram and Facebook hit the scene, and that just helps us compare even more. How good's that? What a gift. Thank you. And all these things just cause us to stop waiting. And this whole thing we're doing, is it really about making us something and somebody? And is that what determines our value? The size of our church and whether we can write a song from scratch or whether we've got to keep singing someone else's song? I mean, do we really have to have our own? Like all these things that we get caught up with because we want to be someone, forgetting that we were someone well before we had anything. God needs nothing to make something. We must embrace nothing while we're waiting for that something. But God always sees someone while we're waiting for something. So the Lord said, don't ask anyone, I'll bring them. And then we launched the website, and that, you know, next week and two, people are responding on the website, and we're interested, we're keen, what are you doing? We're in, we're like, what does in mean? So we sold up and we moved to the Shire and we're renting a place down there, and oh, the good news on that, the Lord's just seriously turned some miracle around. We just bought a block of land 2 weeks ago, which is unbelievable. So all these just great stories that are coming out of it. But I'm sitting, here's the stories that are quite crazy. I'm sitting with this man who I've never met. But the conversation, the coffee hat came about because a friend of mine who lives in Melbourne texted me and said, Joel, I have a person who I know has been texting me, and he saw your the start of your church, the launch of your church on Facebook. And so I was talking to him about it, and he loves the Lord, but he's not been in church for a long time. And I just don't know where he's at, but he sounded interested. Do you reckon you could reach out to him? And I'm like, we've got nothing, absolutely. I've got nothing to do. I mean, that's what I do now, right? I'm like, yes, we got one. So I text him, and he comes to that first startup party night that we did, and it was raining, and he ended up, you know, we had to move it from there because it was too wet, and we went and hid under this awning at the back of a cafe that was closed. And I met him, and I met his wife, and he just looked really interested. And so then we swapped numbers, and then about 8 or 9 days later, we hooked up and had a coffee. And we sat one afternoon after he'd finished work in this cafe, and he just starts pouring his heart out. And he said, I don't know what's happening. God's doing something in me. He's coming alive. And he's telling me this story about how he's coming alive. And he said, I can't put this into words. And so he says, why Cronulla? Why are you guys starting a church here? You could have done it anywhere with what you've been doing. You could have done this anywhere in the world. Why here? Why are you coming to our town? And I said, we don't know, except the Lord has, this is what he said. And so I tell him the story, right? We got nothing. We walk out of the offices at the Hills campus. This is like last October, beginning of October. We walk out of the office. We've already had that final conversations. It looked like it's coming to an end. No one knows, because the role that we're in, you can't just kind of have public conversations about a transition like this. You've got to do it all behind closed doors. There's only 5 people that are having the conversation. No one knows. And so it's quite volatile. We've got to protect the church and make sure that the transition goes well and no one gets disillusioned, no one leaves, no one follows us. You don't want to hurt a church by starting another church. So much is riding on this. So we walk out of the meeting, out of the office. We're at the Hills campus at Castle Hill, the main one, the big one that everyone calls it, the big one, the big smoke. And we walk out and we just, thanks for 20 years. Said congratulations to each other and went, okay, that was it. That's done. You can't celebrate it with anyone. We've got nothing. What do you want to do? I'm just being as raw as it was, right? And so Jules goes, what do you want to do? It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We only work 10 to 3 at Hillsong. I'm joking. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It seemed pretty deserted, which was a really unusual thing in the afternoon. And I said, let's drive to Cronulla. This is how it started. So we resigned not knowing what we're going to do. There was nothing. We didn't resign because we're going to start a church. We resigned because the Lord said, your time's done. We're like, what do we do now? There's nothing. Flip, no wonder we've got to sell the place. Let's drive to Cronulla. So we jump in the car and we drive from Hills to Cronulla, which we've never done before. We've always, because we live in the city, we'd always drive M2 all the way to the city and then we drive from home down to Cronulla. But we've never driven that way. So we drive all the way through the suburbs, all the way through, you know, all the back places. And yeah, it's like an hour and a half drive all the way down to Cronulla. And we come over this bridge called the Tom Ugly's Bridge. What a great Aussie name. Tom Ugly's Bridge. The only one better than that is, oh, good job. He's just saying if I wanted a coffee. No, he wasn't. I was just saying that. So anyway. So we go over the Tom Ugly's, and as we're driving across the bridge, we both look at each other and go, did you feel that? And something happened on the inside of us. God lit a fire on the inside of us. As we drove across the bridge, we just felt the Lord say, this is it. You've got to do something here. And I'm trying to explain this because what happens often when we all get up here and we tell the stories, you know, when God, oh, you know, I was driving across the bridge and I looked up and there was this angel in the clouds, and that's, you know what that is? That's the result of a couple of years of meditation trying to work out what it actually was that happened. If you actually rewind back to the moment that God spoke to you, it looks more like this. And then you go, and you're left with, and then heaven goes, and you go, And then what you're left with is, hey, babe, I felt that the Lord spoke to me. And then she goes, what do you say? And you can't go, So what we do, right? So what we do is we go, the Lord said. And we add all these words to what God has actually never said. All it was, But somehow we knew what meant, right? So I'm telling this story to this guy I'm meeting with. He's a few years older than me. He's a successful business guy. Kids have grown up. He's got adult children. Lives right on the beach in this beautiful, amazing place. I'm telling this story to him, and he starts to cry. He said, if you had not said that, if you'd told me, if you were going to say to me, the Lord has led us here, or God spoke to us to start a church here, he goes, I would have thought you were full of, and he just used a couple of other different words. And he said, but what you've just described has helped me articulate what God is doing inside of me. That's the first of about 30 conversations we've had that just kept happening. People just kept on saying, when God said to us, don't ask anyone, I'll bring them. Awesome. Anytime on when? Like, what do we do while we're waiting? You embrace nothing. Embrace it. And how do you embrace nothing? You talk about it. You say, how do you feel, babe? How do you feel about it? We've got nothing. That's how you embrace it. You embrace the emotion. You get wholehearted. You become vulnerable. You say things like, I'm just really ticked off today. I'm angry. I feel like we've worked so hard and now we've just lost everything. You embrace nothing. You embrace the emotion and the rawness of it. And so if there's who's out in like I know this is a regional city, but who's out in a regional town pastoring? Anyone here out in a regional town where it's getting harder and tougher and like especially agriculture and different things that are being affected? When you've got nothing, what do? You embrace it. How do you embrace nothing? Will you stop pretending? Oh no, it's the joy of the Lord that gives me strength. When to be honest, what you're doing is you're on your knees crying in your bedroom before you get to church. What the congregation needs to see is that we say, I don't understand why this is happening. I don't get it. But here's what I know. That when we can't see anything happening, we know God is doing something. That's the faith we subscribe to. We believe that He is doing something. So even when we see nothing, we're okay with that because we subscribe to a religion that is all about a God who cares for people. And if we just wait a bit longer, we will see God again in the land of the living. We will see Him do something. We'll see it. It will happen. And so I would say to you, if you've got nothing, it's what God needs to do something. Embrace nothing while you're waiting for something. Because God has always got someone in mind. He sees someone while we see nothing. It's so easy to get our value from what we do. And some of you are in towns. I was talking to someone just this week who's in a town who, you know, it's so discouraging because it's a transitional town. And so people come and they go and they come and they go. We had the same conversation last night, Lottie, about Moree and but I've had these conversations across the country with people where, you know, it's just so hard here because, you know, people, they grow up and then they all want to go out to the big smoke and people come in here because, you know, they get more points if they work here and then they can work anywhere they want and it just means people aren't here for long. They're only here for 2 years. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you saying you've got someone for 2 years? That's unbelievable. What could you do? What we could do, if you give me you for 2 years? My goodness. We could start a church if I had you for 2 years. But we bring our whole mentality down to where our community's at and we join them in their doubt and their fear and their confusion instead of saying, no, I get it. I know it's hard. People, you know, you invest into them, you build into them and then they're up and they're gone. That's cool. But what if we were to see it like this? That God creates the whole world. He puts all of us here. And we don't own anybody. So whoever I've got next to me for the next little while, if I just invest into them and give into them and bless them and just help them, and then if they get up and they go somewhere, part of me is now in another place. And we just spread out. I mean, one of the things here, one of the mission is to a church of local and global impact. One of the easiest ways to have global impact is to love some people who grew up here in G-Town. And when they decide to go to the big smoke, Robina, when they decide to go to the big smoke, what you've just done is you've become a church of global impact. Well, Robina's not global, but you've just expanded your local. And anybody that leaves Grafton to go overseas, now you've just become global. And you never lose people you give. You only lose people you try to hold. Isn't it like parenting? You try and hold your kids, you lose them. You release your kids, they come back and they eat all the food out of your cupboard. Louise was saying that. Someone was saying that. So seriously, get excited about nothing. We're getting really excited about nothing. I know you said I could go a bit longer. But I reckon if we stop now and do everything shorter, then that'll give us Julia a few more minutes or at least give us a few more minutes in Q&A. So I want to stop there because it feels right.